Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look into the Word of God, and I'd remind you that we're making our way through the entire chapter. We started about two weeks ago, I think, in what has been called by many the Hall of Faith. As you get into Hebrews chapter 11, the author informs us in the opening verses of what faith is, and by way of definition, he says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And he begins to give us some examples, some things that we can look at, people that we can observe who lived by faith. And I told you that first week when we began the study of Hebrews chapter 11, that I'd much rather see something by way of example than by way of word. To me, that just helps me. Some people can get a lesson in word and all of the principles that are meant to be received, and they can begin to apply it in their life. But boy, when I see it, something lived out before my very eyes in someone else or in a particular way, then I know that it's possible for me to do it as well. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be in verses number 5 and 6 this evening. Last week we looked at the offering of faith through the example of Abel, and tonight we're going to be looking at the purpose of faith through the example of a man whose name was Enoch. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 5 and 6, are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right, let's read together. I'll read aloud, you follow along. The Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Dear Father, again, I believe there's something in the Word tonight for us. It's your Word, and Lord, it's on the written page for our benefit. So I pray that you'll open our hearts and our ears and give us understanding. And whatever the need of the individual is here tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll meet it so that we can go away from here realizing that we have been helped, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The life of faith, as we are learning here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 in particular, is a life that is a dynamic relationship with the Lord. It is a result of a belief that God will do what He said He would do. It's not just hoping that God will come through, but knowing that God will come through, that you're willing to take Him at His word. It is an overwhelming belief that God will say and do what He promised He would do, and that He will do it ultimately for His glory. And I'd just like to ask a question up front. Does that describe your life? Is your life lived out in such a way that you believe beyond any shadow of a doubt, and your relationship with the Lord is so dynamic that He is getting the glory, and your life is a life of faith lived out before others? It should be. And if not, we pray that as we continue on in this study, that you're able to come to that place where God can use you for that purpose. We began looking at the inner workings of faith. We saw last week the offering of faith. We've seen what faith is, what faith does. Tonight we're going to try to discover what the purpose of faith is and why we should strive to live our lives through faith. We're told in the book of Ecclesiastes that everything has a purpose. To everything there is a season. Everything under the sun God put in place for a reason, for a purpose. And that includes you and I and the life that He has blessed us with in Him. A preacher was in Atlanta several years ago, and he noticed in the restaurant section of the Yellow Pages an entry. The entry was a little bit odd, because it was for a place called the Church of God Grill. The particular name aroused his curiosity, and so he dialed the number. A man answered with a cheery voice, which said, "Hello, Church of God Grill." The preacher asked how that restaurant had been given such an unusual name. The man said, "Well, we had a little mission down here for a time, and it wasn't going so well, so in order to try and help out and generate some finances, we began selling chicken dinners after church on Sundays. It was a means to help pay bills. People liked the chicken, and we did such a good business," he said, "that eventually we cut back on the church service and just began to sell chicken full time. After a while," he said, "we had come to the place where we no longer used the church for its intended purpose, but we realized that there was something greater that could be accomplished." Folks, I'd say to you that that was a church who lost their focus of their purpose and what God intended for them to be and do. They were a church of people who professed to know the Lord who got way off base and didn't realize that their lives were to be lived out by faith, trusting God to meet the needs and to minister to them by the promises that He had made to them. They took matters into their own hands. When you're a child of God living by faith, you don't have to take matters into your own hands. You have a God who's in control and who is on the throne. And our life is to be lived for that purpose. It's easy to lose focus of the purpose of living life by faith, just like that church. But that's the goal that we should be striving for. Enoch was a man who did just that. In verses 5 and 6 here, we're introduced to him, and we're told that he had a testimony that he pleased God. That's a great thing to have said about you, isn't it? If there's one thing that I would covet having placed upon my tombstone, given as a eulogy, maybe if I go before some of you, I would pray that it would be said that he pleased God, that he had this testimony. That's what we all should be striving for. And outside of what we find here in Hebrews chapter 11 in these two verses, there's not much else recorded in the Word of God in regards to Enoch, with the exception of the book of Genesis in chapter 5. Listen to what it says there in a few verses in regards to Enoch. The Bible says in Genesis 5, 21 through 24, that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. That begat means that they were born unto him. And it says in verse 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's all the Bible records about this man Enoch. The faith that he had, however, drove him, motivated him, encouraged him to walk with God, the Bible says, for 300 years of his life. He only lived or was here 365 years, and 300 of those years he walked with God. Apparently it served him well, for the Bible says in both places that he was not, for God took him. He was translated. And so by his example we see, I believe, what the purpose of faith is and why we should strive to live lives of faith unto the Lord, just like Enoch. Three things that I want to share with you here briefly in regards to Enoch. First of all, I believe that his was a faith that defeated death. His was a faith that conquered the enemy of death. We find in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You know, if you are familiar with the Word of God, that it is recorded in this very same book, in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse number 27, these words, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." The Bible declares that every man is going to die. But here we see a testimony of a man recorded in God's Word, which is true, that he was not, in other words, he did not die. God took him. He was translated, the scripture says, that he should not taste death, or that he should not see death. So here's a man who was an exception to what the Bible says in Hebrews 9 and verse number 27. It is appointed unto man once to die. I'll explain in a few minutes really what that verse means, but for what we understand death to be, a physical passing off from the scene, leaving this life and entering into the next world, if you will, going to heaven, going to hell, this is a man who didn't have to experience that. He was translated, the Bible says. He conquered, he defeated death. How did he do that? By a life of faith, by living through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Enoch was translated. He was not, for God took him. You know what that means? That means that he never physically died. The other man that never experienced that, of course, was Elijah. The Bible records in the Old Testament that at the end of his ministry, the Lord brought him home in a whirlwind, in a flaming chariot. What a way to go. I mean, to depart in that manner. And he had such a ministry unto the Lord that I think it was only fitting that he left in that way. He was a great man of God, used mightily of the Lord. And so the Lord honored his faith and caught him up in that fashion. The other man, of course, here is Enoch. And translated simply means to be transferred or transported, exchanged to another side, to change sides. It means to carry over, to remove, or to place in a different spot. In other words, the faith of Enoch allowed him, my dear friend, to defeat death, to conquer death. When we consider what the dominion of death is, when we consider how powerful an enemy death is, we learn through that sin is a terrible plague upon all mankind, that all of us are sinners, that all of us are condemned to die, that all of us are facing judgment. And that all started in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command, when they chose to do it their way instead of what God had shared with them. When they did that, they were sent out of the presence of God and condemned to die in their sins. From that point on, death has had a dominion over all mankind. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Was Enoch a sinner? Yes, he was. He was a man just like you and I. He was a man of flesh, and he was living in a wicked day. But the Bible says that he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And as a result, he was not, for God took him. He did not have to see death. He was caught up, invited to go home with the Lord without having to go through the grave of physical death. The Bible says, for as in Adam all die, but that doesn't just refer to a physical death. It also refers to an eternal death, a spiritual death. And had Elijah or had Enoch been caught up in the presence of the Lord, as he was recorded here in the Word of God, and had he not had a testimony that pleased God, he would have been sentenced to that awful place called hell, where he would have spent eternity. And there he would have died the spiritual death. There he would have fulfilled what the book of Hebrews talks about, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So you see, a woman who walks in with God and pleases God by their testimony is a man who can defeat death, who can be victorious and conquer the enemy of death. You say, how does that relate to you and I? When we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, when we ask Him to forgive us and save our soul, we can be caught up, if you will, translated, transferred, put in another spot just as miraculously as Enoch was. How's that possible? It is through the method of rapture, which the Bible talks about. It is the first aspect of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear so much about Jesus is coming again. He's returning. When He comes, the first aspect of that will be for His church, for His bride, for those who are the saved, for those who know Him. Don't look at me like this is all strange to you. Read your Bible. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in 1 Corinthians it's talked about. Repeatedly it is mentioned through the Gospels that Jesus is going away, but He is coming again. And when He does, He's coming for His church, those who know Him. We'll be caught up in the rapture to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say, but don't we have to die first? Not by way of the grave. Not by way of being placed 6 feet under the ground. And if by chance that is the method why that you leave this life, when the rapture occurs, the Bible says you're going to be raised up, come up out of that ground, and you'll rise to meet the Lord in the air with us. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there is a way to live a life of faith and defeat death. When your testimony pleases God, as Enoch did, and we're so close to that time where the Lord is going to return, I believe, He could come back any moment. He could come back before 8:15 when we dismiss this service. He could come back before we actually drift off to sleep tonight. He could return at any moment. Someone said, I believe He's returning is so soon that I refuse to buy green bananas because I know I won't be able to eat them. They won't have time to ripen up. I quit wearing lace-up shoes because I believe the Lord's coming and I know I just need to slip out of these so I can meet Him in the air. I got news for you, friend. Even in your lace-ups, if you're saved and born again, you're going to bust out of them. The Lord's going to take care of that. Amen. So there is a way, we see, and what an encouragement it is to those who know the Lord, that by living a life of faith that is pleasing unto God, there is a way to defeat the enemy of death, just as old Enoch did. Wouldn't it be something to rise to meet the Lord in the air? Wouldn't it be something to be caught up together, maybe from this place, in this little gathering? I wonder how many of us, however, would be left behind. I wonder how many of us would be looking around saying, what has happened? I wonder how many would at that moment say, uh-oh, I haven't done something very important that I was told that I should have done a long time ago in my life. I never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the fact that He's coming back again for those who know Him. The way to defeat death, both physical and spiritual, is to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, to trust Him as your Savior, to ask Him to forgive you of your sin and save your soul. So we see through the example of Enoch that he was able to have victory over death, and his life was a demonstration of faith. The Bible says that he walked by faith. Notice verse 5, read in a different order, but with the same grammatical context. Enoch was translated that he should not see death by faith. You see, God honored Enoch's faith by delivering him from death. And friend, that is the way in which we're delivered from death as well, through faith. The Bible says that we are saved by faith, or through faith. And there's no other way to get to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you trusting in? Who are you believing in for the forgiveness of your sins? The Bible says, in Him we have redemption. In Him we have the forgiveness of sins. So, we see that there is a victory over death. The second thing that I want you to see as a result of looking at Enoch is that his was a life that was determined to please God. His was a life that was determined to please God. He delighted in doing God's will. I'm sure that everyone here wants to please God. You wouldn't be at church on Wednesday night if you didn't want to please God. Especially in the elements that we came to church in tonight. And all of the wet weather and the rain. And you could have just as easily have said, I'm staying home. Because of all that mess that is going on out there. But I believe that everyone here wants to please God. And I believe that ought to be the purpose of our existence. We were created for God's pleasure. Were we created in His image? You say, yes, but we're sinners. Right? Because we disobeyed God. And we chose to do it our own way. But God, because He loves us, chose to make a way of reconciliation for us. And a way where we can come back to Him. And when we do, our lives can please Him. When we live as Enoch did, and delighting to do God's will, delighting to be a pleasure to the Lord, then we can be blessed just as Enoch was blessed. Do you have a desire to please the Lord? It shouldn't be something extra for the Christian, but it ought to be our basic instinct. It ought to be what we strive to do on a regular basis. It's not a dessert, but it's the main course, amen? It's what we ought to be striving to do. Not a sideshow, but the main thing. The motive by which we live ought to be that we glorify God and we please Him. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can you, as you review your life and the things that you involve yourself in, can you put a check out beside some of them and say, that pleases God, that pleases God, that brings glory to Him? And then you hit upon something and you say, well, I'm not sure about that. There's a question mark. It's those things that we need to be working on. It's those things that the Holy Spirit says, I can help you with if you'll just give me an opportunity. A life of faith like Enoch possessed is a faith that determines to please God, determines to have a testimony that God is pleased with. His delight should be our greatest joy. As a child of God who has that kind of testimony, I realize that you're going to be marching to a different drumbeat. The average Christian isn't interested in living a life pleasing unto God. They just think, I'm saved and I'll see the Lord someday in the future, and this life is my life and I'll live it any way I want to. But it is only when we trust and obey, as we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, that He sheds His light upon our way, that He shares Himself with us, that His glory is revealed in our lives. That's what we ought to be striving for. That ought to be our greatest joy. However, I want you to see the warning that is presented here in our verses tonight. Look at verse number 6. The warning is found there in the very opening of that verse. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. You cannot please God, you can't delight the Lord without a clear, true, pure faith in Him. You may seek His pleasure, but if you never please God by carrying that will of His out in your life, then you're not going to be pleasing unto the Lord. You're going to have to stand before Him one day and give an account of why you refused to do things His way when He would have blessed you if you'd only chosen to do that. We must both have the desire to please Him and the diligence to seek Him. And too many Christians lose faith in their life so easily. They're here one time a month or whenever it's convenient for them. They only read their Bible whenever it fits conveniently in their schedule or whenever there's a crisis in their life. Whenever the situation dictates it. I am so thankful that I've come to the place in my Christian life where I can just get on my knees and in the Word of God and enjoy being in the presence of God. Just delighting to see His way for my life. Instead of always getting before Him and saying, oh God, I'm in a crisis and I need You to do something for me. And I'm thankful that He does that. But I'm glad that He wants more than that. He wants a day-to-day relationship with me. And a life lived before Him that is pleasing in His sight. The world is full of faith killers. There are assassins on every corner that are aiming at you and I as God's people to pull us away from the Lord, to destroy our faith, to weaken our testimony. I'm glad that even in the day that Enoch lived in, he was an example to you and I. And he lived the life that pleased God. And as a result, God was delighted and called him home. You say, what are those assassins? Well, there's fear, there's pride, there's adversity, there's rebellion, there's sin. Really, you can lump them all in that category. And all of those things are working against you and I. to steal us away from our faith, to rob us of our witness unto the Lord. You have to guard against those things. When those things come, you have to be ready to do battle with them. That's why we're told in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the devil, that you may be able to fend off the fiery darts of the wicked one. Aren't you glad that when we get to heaven, there won't be no need for an armor? That we won't have to wear that anymore? That we'll be delivered from all of these things that distract us in our faith, and that we'll be free, and that we'll be in the presence of God just as Enoch found himself? And our prayer ought to be that when we meet him face to face for the very first time, that we hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Remember what Genesis said about Enoch, that he pleased God, that he had a testimony, that he honored God in his life. Is your faith a faith that pleases God and honors God? Is your faith a faith that you know is settled in your heart where death has been defeated? The third thing I'll just give you by way of mentioning it, Enoch had a faith that defined his destination. Faith has a purpose, amen? The purpose is to defeat death and to determine the delight that God has in his children. The goal is God himself. Will you let God have his way in your life to where his testimony about you is that you're pleasing unto me, that I delight in your life as one of my children? Our goal ought to be just that. May Enoch help us to get to that point.